Hey, welcome to the Killer Frogs, the podcast all about TCU athletics from the fans' point of view. My name is Sean Fouché. This is episode 216 for November 22nd of 2024. It is almost Thanksgiving. How about that? On tonight's podcast, we've got TCU former player Nathan Hernandez. Nathan, how you doing?
I am alive and kicking.
That sounds ominous, and there seems to be a bit of a story behind that.
No, I'm just, you know, I'm here. I'm happy to be here. Honestly, I think this is probably our last in-person podcast. So
Yeah. Next week we'll be we'll kind of be remote because everybody will kind of be scattered to the four winds for Thanksgiving. So and probably full on tryptophan by that time. But That'll be a good one. Also joining us, Jordy Sandy. How you doing, Jordy?
I'm also alive and kicking, so that's good.
Was that a kicker pun? I was just curious.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah.
Okay.
Nathan stole my joke. So. Doing well. Didn't watch any football last weekend, so it was nice giving up on the Cowboys. So, yeah.
Yeah, have we all given up at this point?
I think it's easy to just not expect anything and, yeah, usually just switch the TV off, you know, halfway through the second quarter. So that's what I did on Monday. Didn't watch it on the weekend, so.
I got to the third quarter.
Yeah.
I got to the scoop and score for a touchdown, and then I was like, yep, done.
To be fair, early on the game wasn't too bad. And obviously, Turpin scored that.
Yeah, well, the Turpin was the highlight of the game.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Oh, we go crazy every time he does anything in our house.
Oh, yeah, it was awesome.
I'm doing like the Turpin time, like, it's Turpin time, it's Turpin time.
I miss that. Good old days. Well, we will definitely be getting into some more football here in just a minute, but we do want to welcome Barry Lewis from TCU Horned Frogs on SI.
Howdy.
How you doing?
I'm doing well.
Yeah, so we have some non-football news to kind of go over, some big non-football news.
We do. And I want to talk about the badass women of TCU athletics.
You can say that again.
Let's start with women's basketball.
Yes.
Had a big game.
Huge win.
Sunday.
Yep.
Beating number 13, North Carolina State, who was one of last year's Final Four teams, 76-73. They have now debuted at number 19 for the season in the poll. It's the highest ranking that the Frogs have had since 2008.
That's crazy.
And it's the first time that they've been ranked in November since 2010.
Okay.
So with that win over the weekend, TCU was the national team of the week. And Sedona Prince is the AP National Player of the Week.
Yeah, well deserved.
Well deserved.
Heck of a game.
Right. And if you're not on that bandwagon yet, it's time to get on because it's going to be a fun season to watch Sedona and Haley Van Lith together. So.
Well, I tell you what, I was watching some of the videos that y'all were posting up on Twitter, and the crowd was the football team was just amazing.
Yeah.
Just right. Watching them just go off, it was great to see. But the crowd, everybody showed up. That was an absolutely hostile environment for NC.
Right. And they had a game this afternoon, beat Incarnate Word by 81-43. So now sitting at 5-0. And if one Final Four team was not enough, a second Final Four team coming up in a couple weeks when the defending national champion comes to Dickey's Arena on Sunday night, December 8th. So we've got the team covering all of that. And if you've not listened to it yet, we now have a new women's basketball podcast called The Splash Pad.
Splash Pad, right.
With Tori and JD. So.
Yeah, they're on episode 2, so you have time to catch up now.
That's right. That's
it's
right.
Not like you have to go through 215 episodes of the podcast to catch up.
And then let's talk about volleyball. Volleyball is ranked number 22 in the nation right now. I've mentioned Melanie Paro here before, said that was a name we needed to keep up with. She has now been selected as a semifinalist for a National Player of the Year. We'll know in December if she'll be a finalist, which she should be, and then that announcement will be made on December 20th.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if she isn't a finalist.
Right, exactly. They are down to their last three matches in the regular season. Their last home match is tomorrow against Texas Tech. Had a home match yesterday against Houston with a reverse sweep, meaning they were down the first two sets and then came back to win the third, fourth, and fifth sets. So there you go.
They are hot right now.
Yep. And not to be outdone, the women's soccer team is into the second round of the NCAA tournament. They had a 1-0 win over Stephen F. Austin on Friday, and that was due to a penalty kick, I think like at the 57th minute or something in that. So
a little
tight game there. And they play tomorrow afternoon at Penn State.
1 o'clock, right?
Yep.
At Penn State. They're coming off a 8-1 win, too. So.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough game. Going to be a tough game, but I think they can pull it out.
Penn State, they're 4-1.
Yeah, it's going to be a good
one. Our team's out there covering all those sports, so just watch for us on TCU on SI.com, and we'll keep you all updated.
Yeah, or just go to killerfrogs.com. That'll take you right to the front page, and you can read all the news this week.
That's right.
It's going to be good. Well, Barry, thank you. Appreciate
it.
I conveniently have a break at 1 o'clock tomorrow. It's just
convenient, huh?
Yeah, it's funny how that works.
Are you still writing your own schedule?
Kind of.
Okay, yeah. Just checking.
And smashing TVs?
No, TVs have been kind of safe this year, mainly because I've given up.
Well, I tell you, one team that hasn't given up is the TCU Horned Frogs, and they come away with a big win over Oklahoma State, 38-13, become bowl eligible for the first time in the last two seasons, and kind of takes a bit of the pressure off of the players going into this second bye. And I wanted to start off there talking with both of y'all, because you have both been kind of in similar situations where you've had some ups and downs throughout various seasons. But what does it mean to a player? And I know there's a lot of fans that don't fully understand this, but what does this mean to a player to become bowl eligible, especially after a season like we had last season, with a couple of games still left in your back pocket?
I think it's great for guys' confidence. They can sort of go out and play freely now, knowing we've already, that's one of the big goals, obviously, is to make a bowl game and to have games in hand, as we finish out the season, knowing that we kind of control to a certain extent what bowl we go to is just, it's great for the guys. I think we're playing some good football now. I think we've, compared to the start of the season, I think we've really started to find some form and, I'm hoping that we can continue that, the rest of the season and win these last two games and go to a good bowl, because I mean everyone wants to go to a good bowl, so I think the confidence will be pretty high amongst the team.
Yeah, to his point, like you said, it takes a lot of pressure off, especially when you're kind of middle of the pack. There is a scenario where TCU gets into the Big 12 like we talked about.
There's still a chance
a chance, but a lot of things have to happen for that. So you're kind of like in the backseat. You're like, okay, we made it to a bowl game. Now we're like we kind of talked about before. We can kind of control where we go a little bit now. Is how well we finish with these next two games will determine where we go. Obviously, the next part of the bowl game is kind of the experience of it, and so obviously how well you do determines what kind of a place you go to. You don't win any games, you get stuck at the Armed Forces Bowl when you're playing at home. Literally.
We've been there, done that before. Hopefully that does not happen again.
So, but you want to get to a good place where you're going to travel. If you're someone who's into traveling on the team, that you get to go to this place free of charge, you basically get paid to be there.
Right.
And so you get...
Well, and we talked about this before. You guys, I don't think we talked about it on the podcast, but it was amazing hearing about all the places you all have been, but have never actually been able to visit. because you show up, you go to the hotel, you go to the game, you go back to the hotel, you get back on the plane, you fly right back.
Yeah, that's how Memphis was for us, for the Liberty Bowl, when we played Georgia. It was a short trip. We were there. I still got to go do things because they have a lot of it's itinerary. It's literally three pages of you're here at this time, here at this time, here at this time. Maybe a little bit of a break here to kind of go do your own thing if a lot of players have family come in. So they give you some time to do that. I think when we were in Memphis, as a team, we went to the MLK Memorial, Bass Pro Shop, the big one, the pyramid.
Yeah, the pyramid. It doesn't sound nearly as glamorous when you just say we went to the Bass Pro Shop.
Sorry.
It was the pyramidal Bass Pro Shop.
It was the pyramid Bass Pro Shop, right next to the river. They took you up to the top platform. They gave you, I think, a drink ticket or whatever up there. But and they gave us a $50 Bass Pro gift card to use. $25, but my roommate gave me his, and so I got $50. But I used it back home because I was buying some non-things I couldn't take on the plane. I bought him a shit.
I don't know. I don't know a follow-up question to kind of bring that one out, but okay, I got that.
I bought a machete.
Yeah, that's good.
But and a hatchet, it's fine. But like for the other thing, we went to what's it called? Graceland, where Elvis Presley stuff is. And we went there with one of our teammates' families. So you get to go do stuff, but that was like a short one. Now on the flip side, you know, we went to San Antonio for the first time we went to San Antonio. We were there for like over a week because we left right before Christmas.
Yeah, you guys were down there for a long time.
Yeah, we were there for Christmas, stayed through New Year's, and the game was on January 2nd, I think.
Yeah.
And so we, you know, celebrated New Year's as a team. You know, we had so much time that we got to explore San Antonio a lot, go up and down the Riverwalk, go do whatever we wanted, plus all the bowl game activities. So that, I think for me, that was always my favorite part about bowl games because I'm not playing that much and so or at all. So I got to do that. And the bowl gifts. That's every player's dream is like the like when you're looking forward to you get through the 15 practices that you go through before you leave, they give you like your luggage and in your luggage is like sets of shirts, sweats, shoes, like all, like the gift itself that the bowl people provide for you and the bowl gift that TCU gives you as well. Yes, we're on. Question from the audience.
Question. Who has the best swag? Who has
the best swag? Like, what do you mean?
Like, which bowl gifts were the best?
Okay. So, yeah, is there talk among players across the country, like, which bowl has the best swag?
So, it is very dependent on who sponsors the bowl, like the Cotton Bowl's Goodyear.
Well, I mean, like when you guys went to the Peach Bowl, I was eating free Chick-fil-A sandwiches for like 2 months.
I think that one, what did we got?
Yeah.
I didn't go to Cheez-It. That was
lots of boxes of Cheez-Its.
But see, like some bowls, they put more into like what they give you and the experience. And so Zeller said that the Cheez-It bowl was probably his best experience just because of like the way it was presented by the company that hosted it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, and you know, and from the media side, they also give swag to the media. I mean, when we were at
Valero,
Valero was amazing. I mean, the swag we got there was just great. Yeah. Pullover. They had bags and everything. And then we get to the national championship game, and there was like nothing.
Yeah, I didn't give you anything.
Yeah, it was like you get a little pin.
We got the travel bag.
No, I didn't get one. They ran out. So
just another step of how bad Sean's experience in California was.
it's the gift that keeps on giving, let me tell you. But yes, poor Sean who had to go and go to the national championship game and not get a bag.
To answer.
Yes.
I avoided that.
Okay, I'm sorry I brought it up.
To go back to Ryan's question, from my experience, the best bowl gift I heard of was I think it was the year we went to the Peach Bowl.
For the first New Year's Six games?
Yeah, for that one. I think it was that year. One of the other Big 12 teams went to the Fiesta Bowl. Whoever was PlayStation hosted it. And so they got PlayStation.
They all got PlayStation.
They all got PlayStation.
That was insane.
Like,
I remember that.
Like, I kind of would give that. I wanted a PlayStation at the time.
That's a good piece of swag right
there. Yeah, I know my buddy played at Oklahoma State, and a couple of years ago when they went to the Fiesta Bowl, they got the PS5s, and he was like, dude, I'm selling mine for sure. It was when they were like hard to get. Yeah. He's like, dude, I'm selling mine.
All of our main gifts that we got, the like expensive ones, I ended up actually giving away. We got an Apple TV for the Peach Bowl. I gave it to one of my friends. We got a pair of Sony Beats for the Villa Alamo Bowl, but gave those away. We got like one of the Alexas with like the screen on it. I gave that to one of my friends he let me stay at their house for a summer. So I was like, yeah, y'all can have this.
Oh, that's nice. That was nice of you. That was very nice of
you. No, absolutely. That's why I'm leaving my current job.
Yeah, so that's the tip. Just become Nathan's friend and you get free stuff. It's good.
And that's part of why I was so mad. And okay, everything aside, we didn't get into 2014 playoff, all that stuff. I was so mad because people don't understand. That's two sets of bowl gifts that you're missing out on. Like you get the one from obviously you have to win, but if you win, now you get the second set of national championship stuff. And as a person that doesn't play, that's what I wanted.
It's good point. Good point. Well,
sorry, Jordy, what were you gonna say?
Well, Yeah, Jordy.
Oh, okay. You're good.
Well, okay, so it's an early bowl prediction right now, but CBS has put out their bowl predictions, and right now TCU is currently slated to play LSU in the Texas Bowl. How do y'all feel about that?
Yikes.
Yikes.
Yeah.
So down in Houston, Texas, this will be TCU, yay, LSU, and it would be December 31st. So that would be interesting.
Take the over.
Yeah, I think that would be an interesting game.
Well, one, we would have to travel to Houston, so I wouldn't look forward to that.
I'm not the biggest fan of Houston.
Around
I'll give
New
you
Year's,
that.
Too, so.
Right.
Yeah.
But, I mean, playing an SEC team.
We'll get into that.
Well, what do you mean by that? That seems like a good transition. What do you mean we'll get into that?
Well, apparently the first time TCU played an SEC team, according to an Ole Miss person, it didn't go well. But
yes,
he probably has short-term memory loss or long-term
definitely
memory loss.
Definitely short-term memory loss. So this story actually broke on Twitter yesterday. So as everyone was kind of jockeying for position after Tuesday's rankings, there were a couple of TCU fans that were, just it's Twitter, right? So they're doing Twitter things. Mm-hmm. And an SEC fan decides to come out and let me see if I can pull up the exact quote, because this was just absolutely tone deaf on his part. It goes, "You'll never guess what happened to TCU as soon as they faced an SEC team." From an Ole Miss fan.
I saw someone comment and was like, "Are you 12 years old?" Like, implying, did you not see what happened when TCU played Ole Miss?
I know.
My favorite response to that was someone posted 2 minutes of highlights. It had some good Ole Miss plays.
Awesome. Yeah.
Two good Ole Miss plays. And then the rest was just all of like scores, big hits, sacks, all interceptions. And I watched the whole thing twice.
Oh, I loved it. My favorite thing is after it got to 42-0, the comments were like, and that's when TCU just decided to let off the gas.
With 13 minutes left
in the third quarter. With 13 minutes left to play. Yeah, it's just like, are you kidding me?
Ole Miss shouldn't have even had that field goal that they had, because on that pick, I think it was a pick or a fumble, when he's running it back the other way, he fumbled.
Yes.
But they didn't review it.
They did not review it.
And he fumbled, and we had the ball back. And Coach P actually told us, stop. Like, just don't go anywhere. Like, just go burn the clock out. Like, don't do anything. Yeah, it was. That was my favorite.
When the entire team stops playing in the second half, you've pretty much had it.
It was all backups at that point.
Yeah, it was.
But, Ole Miss, they've lost to, in the last 11 years, lost to three Big 12 schools in bowl games by a margin of 71 points.
Yeah, it was like 101 to 30-something.
Yeah.
And that's probably my favorite part about this story. If there was any fan base that could bring TCU fans, Baylor fans, and Texas Tech Raider fans
and
together.
And other schools.
It happens to be Ole Miss.
There were a lot of other schools chiming in on that, too.
SMU. Yeah. I saw some SMU comments.
I saw SMU. I saw BYU.
SMU, yeah, they were definitely holding on. I have never seen so many fans that we traditionally hate each other.
Yeah.
Just all came together and sang Kumbaya.
Utah united all of us, and so did Ole Miss.
Yeah, well, I mean, Utah always unites everybody. I mean, I know you guys maybe don't remember back when we were in the same conference as Utah prior to the Big 12, but that was kind of the same thing. I mean, the Utah fans always seem to unite the rest of the conference against them.
Yeah, shout out to the burner accounts, too. That's so much fun on Twitter. I'm going to make one next year. It's so entertaining. Make the burner accounts.
Burner accounts, yeah. You got to let me know what you decide on. That would be great. That'll be good. Yeah, no, not the boomer account. The burner.
Yeah, shout out to the boomer accounts.
Yeah, there you go. They're all on Facebook.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. On the TCU fan pages.
That's right. All right. Well, that's enough talking about bowls. We'll pick this back up after the Arizona game this weekend. But definitely want to get y'all's opinion. There are four teams right now. I mean, yes, Nathan's right. There's still some weird outside chance, 2% possibility that TCU ends up making the Big 12 championship game. But there are four teams right now that have the best shot of making it. Obviously, BYU and Colorado. But Arizona State right now, who plays BYU this weekend, kind of has control of their own destiny. And then there's an outside shot for Iowa State. So who do y'all think is going to be playing for the Big 12 championship in a couple weeks?
I think Arizona State and Colorado can that That's a possibility, right?
So, yeah, so you think Arizona State's going to end up beating BYU?
Yeah, I think that between them and Colorado, I think they're the two form teams in the Big 12 at the moment. I think BYU's kind of had a couple of lean weeks and probably been lucky to win a couple of those closer games. And, yeah, I think Iowa State started well and they've dropped off a little bit as well. I think they've lost their last two maybe.
Yeah, they haven't looked good over the last several weeks.
Yeah, so I definitely think Arizona State and Colorado are – yeah, like I said, the two form teams, and yeah, I hope Arizona State smoke them.
All right, Nathan, what do you think?
I don't see Colorado not getting there.
Just yeah, they've got Kansas and Oklahoma State left, right?
And yeah. Kansas just came off their big win, and so I don't know. I think
they may give them a game.
They can give them a game. I think Kansas is still going to be Kansas.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
So I don't see Colorado not making it. I think it comes down to BYU, Arizona State.
Yeah, definitely not Arizona.
I don't know. I think BYU turns it around this week. I just have that feeling that they're going to. They've had a rough couple weeks, and then now that they've lost a big game, kind of helps you refocus a little bit.
It's do or die team. For them this week for sure, right? They lose this game, and the chances of them actually making the championship is they're underwater at this point.
And this week will tell us if they're a serious team or not, because it gives them that chance to turn it around. If you don't turn it around, you know, pressure was too much.
Yeah, I'm kind of with both of y'all. I don't think BYU has enough left in the tank to really turn it around this week against Arizona State, because I think Arizona State's gotten hot at just the right moment. I think that they're going to come into this game feeling like they have the chance to actually control their own destiny and make it to the championship game, and I think they're going to prove themselves against BYU. But with that being said, let's talk a little bit about the other Arizona team, and that's the team, the Wildcats, that are going to be coming in to Fort Worth on Saturday to play TCU. And look who just walked through the door, an Arizona fan. Wow, look at that. It's fantastic.
Welcome in.
That was not timed. So if you didn't hear that, she said the sacrificial team this year. I looked
up expecting to see Shannon here, but
yeah. Honestly, I did too.
Well, so
shout out Shannon.
It's going to be, wherever Shannon is. When he comes back, he'll be our special guest that week. Arizona Wildcats come into Fort Worth, currently 4-6 on the season. And it has been a disappointing season for Arizona. And I don't know. Do you think there's going to be that? Now, granted, they have a great wide receiver. That's about it.
Yeah, but we have a very suspect secondary sometimes.
True. Sometimes.
And yes. So I think there is a chance that he can go off against us. And like I said last week with Ollie Gordon, sometimes that's all it takes.
It happens,
but
yeah.
If they game plan correctly to kind of either keep him open or use him to open up other aspects of their offense, they can.
Yeah, unfortunately, it doesn't look like they have as many weapons, obviously, as TCU has on offense. As far as passing threats go, he's pretty much it. I think the number two wide receiver on Arizona right now has less than 300 yards on the season. So I don't know if they're going to be able to. Now, granted, the rushing game. We've talked about this in the past, and we were really worried. You mentioned Gordon. We were kind of concerned going into that Oklahoma State game that he could go off on us, especially how suspect our rushing defense has been. And that certainly is a possibility on Saturday. But again, I mean, their top rusher only has about 600 yards on the season.
Yeah, it's just finding that balance of keeping us honest. And obviously, if we start to overplay a certain aspect, like if we just key on that receiver all night and shut him down, it kind of gives our other defensive players the opportunities to excel in other aspects if we can avoid taking away 2-3 defenders at a time. And so I think that was kind of the same with Ollie last week, is OSU never really pushed it down the field. I thought they could have had success if they did. There were a couple of plays where they...
Yeah. No, there were definitely some areas where I was kind of a little confused at some of the play calls. But then again, I think comparing that to Oklahoma State is a little bit of a, you know, apples and oranges comparison, because I think at this point Gundy's kind of lost that locker room. So I don't know, even if they did game plan it a little bit better, I don't know whether or not the players had the will to execute that.
Yeah, this Arizona team is tough. I'm not like...
Oh, definitely.
All the record aside,
4-6 does not reflect the type of team that this is.
No, they're a tough football team. I mean, they embarrassed Utah, which... A lot of people have.
A lot, yeah. I mean, you heard. They're going to run the conference.
Yeah, apparently. I don't know which conference.
Sunbelt. Jordy, how do you feel about this game?
I feel pretty good. It's kind of like Nathan said. I think Arizona's not going to be a pushover. They were, you know, pretty – everyone thought they were going to do good at the start of the year, which has actually been quite funny that the – seasons panned out totally different. Some of the teams that people expected to finish down the bottom have, you know, it's kind of flipped in a sense. But yeah, I think they're going to come in here. You know, we're going to probably get their best game, and yeah, they're going to try and get fire on all cylinders. And
they're trying to get bowl eligible.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. They're, yeah, they have a chance.
They
right?
have plenty to play for.
Yeah, so. They've got two games left. Obviously, with a team like that, though, you got to get up on them early. And you just have to keep on the gas, right? You can't have them kind of, you know, flirt around like we had with Houston, like we had with UCF. You can't allow them back in the game.
Yeah, that's what we're good at, letting people hang around.
Yeah.
I think the last couple of games though, we've started to really, I would say, hit our straps to a certain point. Like, we're taking care of the football and, you know, really putting ourselves in winning positions. So, yeah, I think we'll go in, we'll start fast and hopefully put him away.
Yeah, I'm thinking that's going to be the case. So we'll see how that plays out on Saturday. But let's talk about predictions. What do you think final score is going to be on Saturday? Nathan? I don't know. You have your purple color glasses on this week? Or
I'm just looking ahead. 35-32
TCU. 35-32
TCU.
Okay. The audience wants to ask the Arizona fan what. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. So the comment for those of you who are listening online, the comment was is that if it does get into the 30s, Arizona's going to win the game.
I think I want a shootout. Like, I want to see both players kind of do their thing and see what.
Well, it certainly would give Hoover an opportunity to actually break Boykin's record.
I don't like that.
He needs like, what, 600-something yards to be able to break it?
He needs to average 335, I think.
Yeah, 335, which
Thank
is totally
you.
Possible. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. All right, Jordy, what do you think?
I'm going to go 42-35. I think they score a touchdown late. It's not really that close, but they'll score late.
Okay. Yeah, I'm gonna go 45-23. Yeah, 45-23. I know. But I have a feeling Hoover's going to have a field day, and I think our receivers are going to go off. And I think for the first time this year, I think we're going to have success running the ball outside of the Wild Frog.
Which running back?
I think Payne.
By committee?
Yeah, no, not by committee. I think Payne's going to have a good day.
I hope Cam gets 3 touchdowns.
I'd love to see Cam get 3 touchdowns. I really, really do, but I don't know.
And people on the forum will still blame him for anything that happens.
Well, we won't talk about the forum tonight. So, all right. Well, that's going to be our predictions for Saturday. And, of course, you can go to killerfrogs.com, sign up for a free account on the forum, and let us know what you think the prediction is going to be on Saturday. And with that, we have come to the end of the podcast. I want to thank everybody who is out there listening to us. Of course, you can find the Killer Frogs podcast on all the major podcast platforms. You can find us on Amazon and Spotify and Apple and Google. And like I mentioned before, just go to killerfrogs.com. You can read all of the wonderful articles that Barry and his team of writers are currently putting out about every sports-related piece of news coming out of Fort Worth, including, what was it, Barry? The kick-ass week of badass women. There you go, of TCU. There you go. Hashtag
badass women.
Badass women. There it is.
Yeah, buy stock in the The women's teams, they're killing it.
Yeah, I'm gonna go watch them on Saturday at 2 o'clock.
Yeah, you definitely got to come out. It's gonna be a great, great season for women's basketball. Definitely go and support women's volleyball. If you're listening to this, this podcast comes out on Friday. That game is gonna be today, 6 o'clock. So make sure you go and 6:30. So get there at six. Yeah. Have fun. Why not? But definitely get there. 6:30. Volleyball starts on Friday night. What else are you gonna do on Friday night? Go watch volleyball. That's what you're going to do.
Drink beers.
Go watch Gladiator 2.
Go drink beers, yes. And watch volleyball.
Yes, don't and then lie, go watch know. Gladiator 2.
Yeah.
I'm watching that this weekend, too. I'm pumped. Yeah. Movie's going to be sick.
So Jordy will have his Gladiator 2 review next week.
So Nathan, we can break
that
down.
We'll discuss it.
Yeah. Sounds good. All right.
I love movies. You don't want to get me started on movies. We won't get done until 9.
Okay. We'll be looking forward to that one for sure. And with that, we have come to the end of the podcast. It's the time we get our frogs up and we get to say,
Go Frogs!